Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Vedic Scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Originally written in Sanskrit several thousand years ago by Srila Dwaipayan Vyasadeva, it was translated into English by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The adaptation of today's story appeared in the magazine Back to Godhead, published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles. Your narrator is Amala Bhaktidas. And now today's story entitled King Ambarish versus Yogi Durvasa. My name is King Ambarish, and I was a greatly celebrated Rajarsi, or enlightened ruler, who lived millions of years ago during the Age of Truth. I presided over a royal household with many wives, children, friends, and relatives. I also possessed many elephants, chariots, horses, jewels, ornaments, garments, and an inexhaustible treasury. Yet, amazingly, I was not the least bit attached to all these opulences because I had completely given up the desire to use temporary material things for flickering sense enjoyment. So rather than abandon my opulences, I accepted everything for serving Lord Krishna in devotion. I absorbed all the activities of my body and mind in Krishna's service. I always engaged my mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna, my words in describing the glories of Krishna, my hands in cleaning the temple of Krishna, and my ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. I engaged my eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, the temple of Krishna, and places connected with Krishna like Vrindavan. I engaged my sense of touch in touching the bodies of the devotees of Krishna, my sense of smell in smelling the flowers offered to Krishna, and my tongue in tasting the spiritual food offered to Krishna. I engaged my legs in walking to holy places and temples of Krishna, my head in bowing down to Krishna, and all my desires in serving Krishna 24 hours a day. Yet despite my full absorption in transcendence, I did not neglect my worldly royal duties. Rather, I tried to act as an ideal God-conscious head of state and never issued a single order for my own selfish enjoyment. I saw Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the ultimate enjoyer of all my endeavors, political, social, economic, cultural, and religious, and always offered the results of activities to Krishna. I acted with full knowledge of Lord Krishna's words and full faith in them. And since my subjects followed my example of hearing and chanting about Krishna, everyone was naturally peaceful and prosperous. To satisfy the Lord even further, I organized huge Vedic sacrifices and offered Him the best of everything. As a result, climatic conditions were ideal. Rain was plentiful, and even desert areas flourished. Just to satisfy the Lord, I and one of my queens once observed a year-long vow of austerity. After observing that vow for the prescribed year, I fasted for 3 days and bathed in the river Yamuna. Then with great attention and care, I worshipped the deity of Krishna with fine incense, flowers, flaming lamps, and other items. Finally, I gave gifts in charity to satisfy all the guests who arrived at the palace. To the Brahmins, I gave innumerable cows with gold-plated horns and silver-plated hoofs. Afterward, I sumptuously fed all the Brahmins, and when they were fully satisfied, I prepared myself to end my year of austerities by breaking my fast. Just then, the great and powerful mystic, Durvasa Muni, unexpectedly appeared on the scene. After standing up to receive him, I offered him a nice seat and humbly requested him to dine. Durvasa gladly accepted, but he first wanted to bathe in the river Yamuna. There he waded into the river and became absorbed in trance. Meanwhile, only a few minutes remained before the auspicious time to break my fast would elapse. I became anxious. On the one hand, I knew that if I did not break my fast during the prescribed period, the vow's effects would be lost. But on the other hand, I also knew that I would commit a great offense if I ate before Durvasa returned. To resolve this dilemma, I quickly consulted my learned Brahmin advisors and reached a decision. I would break my fast by drinking a little water only, since drinking water may be accepted as both eating and not eating. After sipping some water, I meditated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead within my heart and awaited Durvasa Muni's return. When Durvasa returned from the river, he could understand by his mystic powers that I had drunk water without his permission. Hungry and trembling in anger, Durvasa Muni chastised me, who stood before him with folded hands.
Alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. Considering himself God, he has transgressed the laws of religion. King Ambarish, you have invited me to eat as a guest, but instead of feeding me, you yourself have eaten first. Because of your misbehavior, I shall create something to punish you.
Suddenly, with his face flushed and fiercely twisted, Durvasa pulled out a tuft of hair from his head and created a demon resembling the blazing fire of devastation. That frightful creature carried a trident in his hand and shook the surface of the earth with his footsteps. And now he was coming before me to kill me. But I remained very calm and did not move even slightly. I was totally unafraid of death, for I was simply absorbed in thinking of Krishna in the core of my heart. I did not even consider asking the Lord for protection. But Lord Krishna well knows how to protect his devotees. Immediately, he sent his personal weapon, the Sudarshan disc, to rescue me. And as a forest fire quickly burns an angry snake to ashes, so the blazing Sudarshan disc destroyed the demon completely. Upon seeing that his attempt to kill me had failed, and that the Lord Sudarshan disc was rapidly moving toward him, Durvasa Muni became very frightened and fled. By his mystic powers, he fled everywhere, to the sky, to caves, to the ocean, even to the heavenly planets. But wherever he went, he felt the unbearably hot Sudarshan disc following close behind him. Finally, by an inconceivable yogic perfection, he crossed beyond the covering of the material universe and entered one of the planets in the self-effulgent spiritual sky. Still feeling the Sudarshan disc's scorching heat, Durvasa Muni fell at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Narayan, the shelter of all living beings. Durvasa once again trembled, this time in great fear.
O infallible, unlimited Lord, O protector of the universe, I am a great offender. Please give me protection.
However, Lord Narayan told him,
O Brahman, I cannot act independently, for I am completely under the control of my pure devotees. Since they give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their very lives simply to serve me, how can I ever give them up? The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the core of my pure devotee's heart. Indeed, my devotees do not know anything but me, and I do not know anyone but them. O Brahman, now let me advise you what to do to escape danger. Please listen closely. When one uses his so-called power against my devotee, it inevitably harms the user. So by offending King Ambarish, you have acted against your own best interests. Therefore, you should immediately go to the king and beg his forgiveness. Do not delay even a second. If you can pacify him, then there will be peace for you.
Still feeling very much harassed by the Sudarshan disc, Durvasa Muni immediately left Lord Narayan and retraced his flight back to Earth. Upon reaching my palace, he quickly entered the main hall, fell down, and clasped my feet. When Durvasa touched my feet, I felt ashamed and aggrieved. And out of deep compassion for the sage, I began praying to the great weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Sudarshan disc, I offer my obeisances unto you. You are fire, you are the most powerful sun, and you are the moon, the master of all luminaries. You are religion, you are truth, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and you are the supreme transcendental prowess in the hands of Lord Krishna. Your very name, Sudarshan, indicates that you serve as the Lord's auspicious vision. You have created everything by your activities, and therefore you are all pervasive. O protector of the universe, the Lord has engaged you as his all-powerful weapon in killing the envious enemies. Yet, for the benefit of our entire dynasty, I pray that you kindly favor this poor Brahman. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, who is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and who is the life and soul of all living entities, if that Supreme Lord Krishna be pleased with us, we wish that you free the suffering Durvasa Muni from your searing heat. My prayer pacified the Sudarshan disc, and he stopped burning Durvasa Muni. Deeply grateful, Durvasa began to praise me.
My dear king, Today I have experienced the greatness of Lord Krishna's devotees. For although I greatly offended you, out of mercy you have overlooked my offense and prayed for my good fortune. O King, I am very much obliged to you.
While awaiting the return of Durvasa Muni, I had not taken any food, but had maintained myself simply by drinking water for one whole year. Now I still did not eat. Instead, I fell at Durvasa's feet and fed him all varieties of delicious food. After eating, Durvasa Muni was so satisfied that with great affection he requested me to eat also.
"Please take your meal. I am very pleased with you, my dear king. At first I thought of you as an ordinary human being and accepted your hospitality. But now I see that you are the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Therefore, simply by seeing you, touching your feet, and talking with you, I have been pleased and have become obliged to you. All the people of this world will continuously chant the glories of your spotless character."
In this way, Durvasa redeemed himself. True, his mystic perfection was like a valuable jewel, but he had misjudged my position and had acted enviously. Durvasa Muni was like a snake, and a snake with a valuable jewel on its head is just as dangerous as one without such a jewel. But in the end, Durvasa came to realize the true position of the Lord's devotees and praised both them and the Lord himself. Thus, he became very fortunate. Today's story was entitled King Ambarish versus Yogi Durvasa and was presented by Radio Krishna at the KHQN studios in Los Angeles, California. It was derived from the Vedic scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, translated from the Sanskrit by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The adaptation for radio appeared in Back to Godhead magazine, published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles. The engineering and musical selections were under the direction of Vaibhavi Devidasi. Your narrator was Amala Bhaktidas.